You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 9, Episode 16 coming your way this week. As ever, it's me, Kieran Burke, and himself, Gary Riley. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Delighted to say we're going to be joined on this week's show, in the next couple of moments actually, by Barry Murphy, former League of Ireland goalkeeper and current LOI co-com and League of Ireland pundit as well. He's going to give us his thoughts on Rovers maybe taking a good old howl of it, as you'd say, Gary Riley, over the last couple of weeks. They look to be really laying down a marker for the season ahead. We'll talk to Baz about one of his other former clubs, Pats, as well, who just can't seem to get going. And we'll get his thoughts on, I suppose, some of the different goalkeepers around the league. And I want to talk to him about a few of the managerial spats that have occurred over the last few days. Again, more. I think we need to get a managerial spat Claxton on the show. What do you think? Because there's so many of them now.
Yeah, half of them are made up, though. Like, they're not the required hatred there, so...
It was proper biting that Rennie and Doherty one now, the weekend. Did you see the video you did?
That was the one where Conor Keady was being interviewed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was handbags at dawn, really, wasn't it?
Great to see Dara Doyle wading in there.
Oh, he was, yeah. Defending his own, he said, right?
We always said it. He was
bullshit, though.
We couldn't stand him as a player, Dara Doyle, when he played for Cabinteely. He used
Oh god, yeah.
It was horrific. Yeah. And then he took over at Longford, and he was so calm on the sideline. And we used to be saying to him, "Like, come on, lad,
what happened?"
Yeah, but you know, he's still got that fire in the belly, no doubt.
Great to see. Yeah, no, because it was I suppose like when he was managing the town, he supposed he had to be
more reserved.
More reserved,
but
in
it
a
worked.
Way.
It worked.
But did certainly.
But yeah, great to see him getting stuck in. Well, look, we will come to that. We'll come with the McInniff celebration as well. Some great rustling around the league this week.
Yeah, I couldn't believe a single person mentioned the McInniff celebration. What?
Negatively, you mean?
Yeah. What were they thinking? I don't really know. He's probably getting dogs abused the whole game up there. And got the winner against another shite Derry performance. So what's the complaint about?
I'm not sure. We'll get to those games shortly. But we got a lot to get through, as you can hear. We've got the first division as well. There was a certain game down in Limerick that didn't go that well for one team in particular. So we've got a lot to get through. But we'll go to Barry first. He's our guest this week. And we're going to get the rundown on all the latest in the Premier Division with Baz. Here he is. Now, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the show by former League of Ireland goalkeeper and current LOI TV, Colcom and Pundit, and that is Barry Murphy. Baz, good to see you.
Yeah, cheers for having me, Kieran.
No problem at all. So, look, I think the club most people probably associate you with is Shamrock Rovers, and should the league office start ordering some green and white ribbons, I wonder? Some real statement victories over the last couple of weeks, the hammer in the St. Pat's and then the late winner up in Derry. They look like they're really starting to move through the gears, Stephen Bradley's side.
Yeah, they really have, and I think if you actually look at it player for player, they're probably only touching the levels they were at 2 years ago. And like, you probably look at the squad, and it's probably not as good a squad as it was 2 years ago either. When you look at the likes of the players they've lost, Ferrugia, Burns, Johnny Kenny, Sean Hoare, Richie Tell, but like the old guard have really stepped up in the last couple of weeks. Graham Burke, Jack Byrne, and Aaron Green has been exceptional as well. He's been so clinical up top, and he adds to that the new boys, Noonan and Matt Healy, has fit in seamlessly. And obviously, you've got Honaghan now, who's on the brink of getting his international call up as well. They've all been exceptional, and they've probably just got back, as I said, to the levels they were at a couple of seasons ago. And I think the rest of them just haven't reached those levels. They're probably at the same kind of level they were at last season.
A lot of people going into the game at the weekend against Derry were saying this is probably the two most likely title contenders. What did you see in Derry on Friday night? Did you see enough to suggest that they could push this Rovers team all the way, or do Rovers just look that cut above at the moment?
Yeah, actually, I thought they started really well. Derry probably shaded the first half. I thought this could be a little bit of a marker put down to Shamrock Rovers. I think they'll be the closest to Rovers. But again, I probably think it's too early in their evolution as a team to kind of they put together some good results and then thrown in some really poor ones along the way, and you just won't get close enough. It's not going to be the same as last season. You're not going to be allowed to drop that amount of points and still be in contention. And I think Rovers will win it at a canter in the end, but it'll be, I think it'll be Derry here as the ones that'll be the closest to them.
And on your other former club, Pats, what's happening there? Just hasn't took off yet.
Oh, it's a weird one. I still think Stephen Kenny will get it right, but all he can do is kind of assess them now in this snapshot in time. And they're a point worse off and four more conceded than last season at this point. And John Daly got the bullet after that run of results. And I'm not saying, listen, that's obviously not the way you go. I think he'll turn around in years to come. And it's about the evolution of a team similar to Shamrock Rovers. It took Stephen Bradley a couple of seasons to get the players in he wanted, but the players are letting him down at the moment. They're underperforming, and there's no doubt about it. He's not getting a tune out of the better players at the moment either, and the so-called flair players that really showed up from the last nine games, Mulroney, Albazetti, they've been really poor. And you look at the former Sean Hoare last year when he was called upon from Shamrock Rovers. He was excellent when he's come in, but he's been really off kilter this season so far for them. But I think Stephen's probably got to take a little bit of culpability as well for the kind of predicament they find themselves in. I think they got the tactic against Rovers wrong. I think going man for man 3-5-2 was, I know he was down a couple of bodies, Forrester and Levy, but I just think he got it wrong in the night and went 2-0 down, and just it took too long to change things. They waited for that third goal. We were crying out for it at halftime, really, on the commentary side of things, saying, listen, you've got to get Jake McClellan in there, you've got to get some legs in, especially with Keane Levy missing. And they didn't, and that third goal just killed them off, really, and just didn't really offer enough up front. And you just look at a couple of results throughout the year, again, similar, the kind of substitutions made against Bowes at the wrong time, and the kind of, you can see it from a Pats fans point of view, they weren't happy with what was going on at that stage. And listen, a couple of good results kind of got them back into it and got the fans off his back a little bit, but he just shows the gulf and the class at the moment between the two sets of teams. And again, as I said, that they're further along in that kind of evolution as a team as opposed to St. Pat's Shamrock Rovers are. So I'm sure things will come good, but he's finding out now what these players are about. And I think he's probably not liking what he's seen in a lot of them. You look at the goal difference, like it's really poor. It's kind of this, where they were last season as well. And for a team that's going to challenge for the league and try and do well in Europe, they've got to shore things up at the back. And it's just not happening for them at the moment.
Yeah, just picking up on a few things you said there. A lot of those players at Pats would have been there under Tim Clancy and under John Daly. And obviously we know what happened to both of those managers. So do you think Stephen Kenny's starting to look at it now? And as you said, he's not liking what he's seen. Do you think there'll be a bit of freshening up in the summer? And the other thing as well, you touched on the lack of legs that you felt was in the midfield in one of the games you watched. That's something a lot of Pats fans have said to us in tweets and comments we've got sent to us. Is that a big problem area for them, the middle of the park?
Yeah, if you take Keane Levy out of that team, you've got Brandon Cavanagh, who's a good footballer, but he's not going to run a midfielder the way Levy does. He's such a powerful runner. You can see by his legs, he's a bulky lad. Like he can get on the ball and get moving. But again, you take him and Forrester out of the team, it's a massive loss. Like Chris is just so good in this league. He's a step above when he's on form. And you take those two boys out of the team, any team is going to miss the standard of those two players. But at this level, you've got to have replacements coming in and doing it for you, and they just don't have it for me at the moment. Jamie Lennon has been good in that holding midfielder role, but the lads that stepped up from last season, you're always going to get that kind of fresh manager bounce when you come in, especially with an international manager, and you're looking to secure a new deal for next season. And Jake Mulroney was sensational last season, as was Albazetti, but obviously, Ramal Palmer is a massive loss. So I think they're going to spend, and they're going to spend big in the summer. I think they have to, but on the other side of that, you've got to get rid of a few heads. And as you said, they've been around a couple of seasons now, so he's had more than enough time to have a look at and pick from those players. Stephen has had a record of turning players around, though, from average enough players into a good quality team. So
it's very surprising those players you mentioned, like Albuzedi and over on the other wing as well, Mulroney. He's been always known, Stephen Kenny, for having really good wingers, and you know the wingers being a huge part of his teams, and it's just not happening with those two players. And a lot of people would have looked at those players at the start of the year and said, yeah, these could probably be among the best players, the best wingers in the league, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, he's had the best wingers, but he's also had some of the best fullbacks as well. And listen, you look at Schoeberg and on the other side as well. You look at them and go, Anto Breslin, they're a decent at the end of last season, but they haven't stepped up to the mark this season. And you look at that Rovers game, you're going, it's crying out for to play four at the back. I just couldn't believe he played three. And when the two of them are on the bench, and you're looking at that and going, he's not fancying putting him into that game. I know he's trying to counteract and get Melia and Keane into the same team, which is also a bit of a problem for him. But yeah, his wingers only work when he plays four, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Just going back to Shamrock Rovers, where can they improve? A lot of people are talking about maybe getting another striker in there just to take some of the pressure off Noonan, who's a young lad, and Aaron Green, who's never been prolific. He's having a great start to the season, but is he going to get 15, 20 goals? His stats previously would suggest no. I know they've been linked with the lad McGovern up north. Do you think that's one area, or is there other areas they can improve?
I think they need another centre-half. I think between the three of them, Dan Cleary, Grace and Lopez, they're probably some of the best three. But there's always an injury with either Grace and Dan Cleary. And then listen, Corey O'Sullivan's come in and done really well playing left of the three when he does come in, and Honan can slot in there as well. But I do think you need a centre-half. But again, you could say the same about Shells, Pats. There's a few that need the centre-half, but you do need an out-and-out centre-forward as well. And you look at when you're coming to European games, Aaron Green has been sensational in the league so far, but the difference Johnny Kenny made up top with that bit of pace that Aaron's just slightly lost, but he still has the guile around the goal. But you need a bit of pace up there and a bit of youth. And I think Noonan will come good as he's started to show already, but in Europe it's a different level. So you might need another centre-forward in there, which I think they'll get in McGovern.
One area a lot of people felt before the season that Rovers had to strengthen, and it appeared they did strengthen, was with the signing of Ed McGuinty between the posts. But he did have a little bit of a rocky start. How do you think he's faring now overall?
Yeah, I think he's starting to level out a little bit. It's a horrible position to play in at some times in goal for Shamrock Rovers. It's probably the most scrutinised position in the league and talked about position. And that's because you've very little to do in games, and you have to make those saves when they come about. And it does take, there's a bedding in period as well, especially when you're coming from a Sligo, when you're getting 10 or 11 shots a game and you're conceding three and making eight saves. Different story when you're going to play in Europe or you're going to play in the league, and it's a couple of shots and you've got to make those saves. And Ed found that he's a front foot goalkeeper, but like when you're playing three at the back as well, it's getting those distances right and getting those conversations between you and the back three. And a lot of those mistakes were balls between him and that back three where he was coming out and just finding himself in the wrong position. But I think he's learned to take a yard back, a little yard back, and listen, just assess the situation a little bit more and take the time to do that. And just, he has the quality. He has all the qualities to make the saves. And it was probably a little disappointing for Leon Poles. He kind of came a little bit good in the European games, but listen, that's the ruthlessness of the top Premier Division football, is you lose your position to somebody that team is better.
Yeah, and look, as you said, most people do focus on the mistakes, but it seems like we've got a lot of keepers in the league that are probably of a very similar standard. There's a lot of really good shot stoppers. I think of someone like Joey Anang, but we all know that the brutal mistake he made recently against Shamrock Rovers. Ed's had a few shaky moments this season, but he's a great shot stopper, as we know. Luke Dennison at Drogheda, he's pulling out some big saves. I think that's the thing about him, that a lot of games he's not making massive amounts of saves, but when he has to make a big save at a big moment, he always seems to pull it out of the bag. So he's maybe been the surprise package this season in terms of goalkeepers. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, what he has is a real calmness. Talking about that steadiness that Ed needs to find, I think Luke probably has that, and he's also pulling off the big saves as well. So he was excellent when he came in half or two last season as well, and he's carried that form into this season. And a good solid goalkeeper who just does the simple things right tends to have a decent career in this league, and it's obviously the exceptional ones who can do that and add in the top saves as well that they get snapped up and brought abroad. So listen, I think he's obviously the clean sheet record holder at the moment in the league this season, so long may it continue for them. And he's a big part of him and Keely in front of him have been a big part of the success of Drogheda so far.
Yeah, the young lad down in Waterford seems to be doing quite well as well. I know he had a couple of ricks there recently as well, but seems to be a few good young goalkeepers in the league at the moment.
Yeah, there is. He's a prime example of it, of what I've been talking about. Again, make some good save, but the decision making, like the goal for last week against Shamrock Rovers, where he goes to play it out. You just got to stick that. You got to wrap your leg around that and stick it. If it goes out for a throw, and it goes out for a throw, and you just don't put it back into the centre of the pitch, and you just miss hit it. You don't take those sort of chances. And those are the little things he'll learn. That listen, it's not about looking good and knocking it down the pitch. It's just about clearing your lines and doing the simple things right, and the rest will come for it. But he is making big saves, and again, such a young age to be getting such exposure in this league.
Again, I think most people would probably agree that last season the two top keepers in the league were Brendan Clark and Conor Kearns. I know Conor and Brent, they've probably both had little injury issues this season. Do you feel there is one goalkeeper at the moment that's head and shoulders above the rest, or is it a very evenly matched bunch of keepers we've got across the league?
Yeah, I think it is evenly matched. There's no one massively standing out. When you look at the goals conceded this year, I think it's 30 more goals or 35 more goals conceded this year than at this point last season. So it's you could say it's the defending that's gone out the window a little bit. But you look at a lot of games, there's goals everywhere in them, and it's probably down to the way teams are going at each other now. There's an awful lot less draws, and Bowes haven't drawn a game this season. Waterford have drawn their first game last season. It's just about teams going at each other this season. So inevitably, there's going to be goals in it. And you look at Clarke, as you said, he's probably struggled a little bit. He's taken out of the team last week, and Conor Kearns hasn't been the keeper he was last season. And those sort of things happen. You have kind of undulations in your performances. But again, it's about any sort of team that can find a consistency in clean sheets seems to climb the table.
You stated that you think Rovers will win it comfortably enough with Derry next best. Just on Bowes, Drogheda and Shells, who are probably thereabouts at the moment, where do you see their aspirations this season?
Yeah, I think if Shells were to challenge in some way and have a decent enough European run and get Europe again next year, I think, listen, no matter what said, I think that will be seen as a decent one. From I think they were tracking ahead of where they probably should have been last season. And again, like, not to disparage them, but it probably wasn't as strong a league as it has been in the last couple of seasons. And listen, the fair play to them, they took absolute advantage of that and they were excellent at times. But you know, look at the levels Rovers are getting to, and Shells just can't match that at the moment. And again, it's simple for Shells. They're conceding goals, same amount scored as this time last season, but conceded six more, and they're never going to be prolific scorers. And when the margin for error is gone now, and that shows in the points tally. And you just look at some of the recruitment, maybe have they replaced Malloy from last season? No, because you're playing a Coyle in at centre back, and that's been disastrous the last couple of games. And you really miss him in centre mid with McElroy, who's been excellent since he's come in, but they just don't have that potent goal threat up front. And yeah, you look at Paddy Barrett is such a massive miss. I know it said a lot, but he is such a massive miss. And I know Damien's probably penned him in for a game soon come up. And you just look at that Shamrock Rovers game, the 13th of June. I think that's probably the one where he'll come back in. And I think you'll start to see performances improve from then.
What about Drogheda? Europe is a real aspiration, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're actually set up really well to play in Europe. They're tied at the back and hit teams on the counter-attack. And that's probably what Shamrock Rovers did in the early rounds. They went over to Iceland in the first round against Víkingur and had to defend with their lives to get any sort of result over there, and did the job back here. And I think it'll be similar to what Drogheda will have to do, but they're set up to play that way, and they've got some quality in that team as well. So I think that they could do really well in Europe. And listen, Kev's doing such a phenomenal job up there with what he has, and that move to full-time football just shows the talent that was in that squad when given the time to show it. So I can't see them falling away at the moment. They mightn't be challenging for the league, but top four, I think they should definitely be looking at.
And we know Kev was in the headlines over the weekend himself, and Rennie had a bit of a back and forth. Seems to be a little bit more of that in the league this season, a bit more needle between some of the managers. Personally, I think it's a good thing, and it's good for generating headlines and discussion around the league. But why do you feel we're starting to see a little bit more pinch on the sideline than we did in past seasons, maybe?
It's brilliant. Again, like it's the league is emotional because there's real jobs on the line in this league. There's no huge payouts for managers or players after they leave a club. It's football at close to its rawest form, while being professional and sprinkled with some absolute gems of footballers in it. I think that's kind of where we are as a league. And Listen, you look at Aaron McAleer celebrating his goal up in Derry. I think it's brilliant. Like it's great to see, and just sticking it to the Derry supporters with a last minute winner. And you can't have any problem with that. If a Derry player comes down and does the same here, you've got to say hats off to him. Because like it's, yeah, you're probably getting stick all week on Instagram about the game coming up and like being an ex player and all that. And that's his only kind of retort to that sort of thing, is to go and celebrate in front of the fans like that. And the same with Kevin Rennie, just such pressure on these jobs and these managers to do well in the league. And it's such a small league with a little amount of jobs that when you are under a bit of pressure, it shows in the pitch. But long may it continue. It's what separates us from the league across the water. I think there's a real staleness in that league now. And
yeah,
as I said, it's a real rawness in this league at the moment. And long may it continue.
100%. Are you on LOI TV this weekend?
Yeah, we've got Galway up in Tala now on Friday. So yeah, another big game. And for Rovers, you want to keep the ball rolling. And Galway need to pick up another result.
Yeah, you used the word staleness there. We had Galway fans on to us recently that things have gone a bit stale there, but they got an important win at the weekend. So are you expecting a tough game for Rovers there?
Yeah, they've been brilliant the last couple of times they've come up. Probably should have won both of those games. Like Hickey's caused all sorts of problems, and listen, it's such a big pitch now that it just suits them so well. It's the key kind of last couple of games was Clarkey, to be fair. He was sticking it on Hickey's head and they're getting in behind that kind of that wave again. No real prettiness to it up in Pala, but it was effective, and I can see them just kind of going back to basics. They look like they've gone away from it a little bit the last couple of weeks, and I'll see a big result from last week, but the games before that, they kind of have a little bit of overplaying starting to creep into the team and going away from what served them so well last season. So I'm sure they'll kind of revert to form on Friday will be the plan.
Interesting, because a lot of people have said the same about Shells this season. Even the stats would suggest they're trying to play that little bit more football. But it's interesting, the two managers seem to be trying to be that bit more expansive given the great results they've had by playing the way they do.
Yeah, I think again, like not to use that word evolution again, but it is. It's what naturally happens in the team. It's like Shells were so good in the way they played last season that they're so effective in how they played that this season they want to add a bit more kind of football into it. And again, going into Europe, you've got to go and do that at points as well. You've got to hold on to the ball. So Damien will have that on his mind going into the European games, that we've got to get the ball down. We've got to hold it. You can't be chasing teams in whatever 30-degree heat that you're going to face in some of these European venues should they get down the line. But that will be in his mind. But again, you can't go away from what was so effective from your last season and that 4-4-2 and go along when it needs to be bypassed the midfield sometimes. You've got to add a little bit of both in. And again, as we saw throughout the leagues, it is effective in this league.
Just final question on Rovers before I let you go. They had a very, very long season last year, as we know, getting to the knockout stages of the Conference League. They're going back into Europe this summer. Derry aren't going into Europe. If Rovers have another prolonged European campaign, I know it'll be more difficult now without the Champions route this time, but do you think there could be a little bit of burnout come the end of the season? Because they had very little off time between one season ending and another one starting.
I think the squad's probably at a point now where it can deal with it. I think that's something they've been building for a while, is to be able to have a war on two fronts, if you like. And I think the bringing Darren Dillon has been back in has been like a brilliant move for Stephen Bradley. He's the strength and conditioning coach, and you can see it on the pitch now. They're scoring late winners. They look much fitter, much stronger. And they probably didn't expect to go as far as they did last season, no matter what they say. And like, you only get a 3-week break before the league starts. So it was a bit all up in the air about how they were going to start this season now. But they've hit the ground running now. And I think you come to a point where you're playing Thursday, Sunday, and you can effectively put out two strong enough teams. Again, with the points tally they've accumulated already, and that game, that the European game with the European teams there during the week, I think that'll just be Rovers' kind of position. That they'll have a couple of different scenarios they can put out when it comes to a Thursday and Sunday game. That they'll have the squad with a few additions coming in July that will be able to cater for that.
Great stuff, Barry. Insightful as ever. Thanks so much.
No problem at all. Cheers, Kieran, and cheers for the tips on Saturday, by the way.
No, no problem at all. Yeah.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, Yeah, great to have Barry on the podcast. As he said there at the very end, I did happen to give him he was a stag in the Curra on the weekend, and he texted me for a couple of tips. And I said to him at the time, you know, I'm more of a jumps man than a flat man, to be honest. But I said, I'll do my best. I was actually in the studio at work broadcasting the racing that day. So I had a little quick scan of the form and gave him three horses. The first two won, and he had the third in the 2,000 guineas. So not a bad day's work from myself. And
sounds like... tried to give that to me or someone else but that you might know. Jesus Christ.
If only my League of Ireland tips were as good.
Honestly,
bottom of this predictions league. We'll get to that later. But look, let me and you delve into some games now from the course of the weekend. And we'll start with Derry against... You call this a shite Derry performance? I'm not so sure about that. 2-1 to Shamrock Rovers. Late goal from McInniff.
I suppose I'm looking at... I don't know. Sometimes I nearly think Mark Conley is like putting on a... Right.
I'm sure most people have seen this, but like the first goal... It was the equaliser for Rovers, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lopez with the shot from about 35 yards out. No one next or near.
Who headed in the rebound?
Noonan, wasn't it?
Noonan, yeah. Lopez takes on this shot from 40 yards. Outrageous strike, because he hits it like a chip, but it starts to pick up pace as it goes towards goal. Rattles the crossbar. Mark Connolly puts his hands on his head when the ball comes off the bar.
Yeah, he might as well totally be in stopped. Row fucking Y up there.
Yeah, totally stops and lets Noonan in to head it. Like, I remember doing that as a young fellow once in training when I was playing for the local team. We were playing training indoor and I was a striker and the ball hit the post and I had the hands on the head or whatever. And I think one of my teammates did it and the coach stopped us straight away. This is under 9s, under 10s. And he's like, what just happened there? Everyone was like, what? The ball hit the post. He was like, the two strikers both stopped and put their hands on their head, reacting. And no one was alert to the live ball. That was under 9s or under 10s from a lad that had no coaching badges telling us this. How on earth is Mark Connolly not reacting to that ball coming off the crossbar?
Yeah, because I actually remember, this is for training for bloody GAA back as a useless child. Anytime anybody took a shot, the manager or coach used to be roaring that it's coming back off the post.
Yeah.
Like every single one. Like you'd be sick listening to him. Like it could be going 30 yards wide and you'd be going, it's coming off the post. You'd be there, oh, looking again. Do you know what I mean? But like, it's just like, if you look back at him, like an absolute statue there with the head in his hands. It's
crazy.
It's just dog shit. Like, just not good enough. And I suppose, you know, they were 1-0 up. That's careless. That's
a lovely goal good. As well. Really good goal. I'm not sure who played the pass in for the goal, but it was a fantastic pass. A really good finish as well. Great goal from Derry.
Yeah, it was. But they took a dump all over it. Do you know what I mean? And that's not good enough. They had an opportunity to take a couple of good points off Shamrock Rovers and let it slip again.
Yeah, first half wasn't a classic, obviously, but second half I thought there was some really good football played from both sides, but. Rovers just showing that bit of mentality, different, I suppose. Yeah,
different gear as well, and like the players obviously that they're bringing off the bench and all of that is wonderful stuff. But
we heard from Barry there. He thinks they'll win it at a canter. Do you agree?
Not sure about canter. I think there's some players that have really, and probably a player that we haven't talked about maybe as much in Healy in particular.
Yeah. Class act.
Yeah, not a big fan. Like, let's talk there about like how you know Gary O'Neill missing and stuff like that. He won't be a miss. He won't be a miss for Shamrock Rovers at all. Mahidi is a different caliber of player. From the bit that we saw of him before, and from what he's contributed to Shamrock Rovers this season, I was never a fan of Gary O'Neill. Never saw it. But now they have a lad that is. More of a game changer, I would say. Yeah. Has better quality to be able to make serious contributions going forward as well. So I think that is probably something that they've been added, that they've obviously added to the squad, but maybe has gone under the radar so far this season, even though
they've got a fresh Jack Byrne. I know you've not always been massive. Believer in all the talk about Jack Byrne, but like they have him very fresh this season.
Well, I'd rather have him than not, but like, you know, like he's, you know, he's
fresh and he's fit, and even Aaron Green is firing on all cylinders as well at the moment. Now, I think another striker would be no harm because Noonan's very young and Green, as you always say, like he's going through a great patch, but is he going to get 15, 20 goals? Probably not. So another striker probably.
Yeah, but it,
beef up the centre-backs, as Baz said there as well. And because they could have another lengthy European campaign for all we know. Now it'll be harder without the Champions route. Might be a shorter summer maybe than years gone by. Yeah. But still, it's, you know, one season rolled into another. There could be a bit of fatigue come the end. So no harm if they beef up the squad a little bit now in the summer. But Rovers are looking at a cut above at the moment. Drogheda United 1, Bohemians 0. We'll just go back to it again. I know we had a bit of a laugh at the start there, but Doherty and Rennie, give me your thoughts on this.
Pure nothing in it. I don't also buy that nonsense from Rennie about
Doherty sniffing after his job.
Yeah,
that's
sniffing after his job.
Crazy talk.
Yeah, nonsense. Pure nonsense. Like a pure shite, like.
Doherty's comeback was very good.
Oh yeah, I took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, it was very good. Awesome. So, yeah, I must say, look, he was probably soured that they lost the game, but
when they shouldn't. Bowes had some great chances. I mentioned it with Barry. Luke Dennison, you always talk about it as a goalkeeper. You want your keeper to bail you out in the big moments, and my goodness, did Dennison do that on Friday night for Drogheda?
Hugely. Really serious performance from him. Look at it, he's always had that. Like he's always like, you know, three clangers with us back in, what was it, 2022? You actually had some very good commentary in one of them. Oh no, not again. but excuse me, he does that. He has that capability. He's been he's had some ropey moments, make no mistake, but he's a cup winner now. He's at the top of, or towards the top of the table, doing quite well and keeping some good clean sheets, and he added to it there the other night. But I think that's something that, I'm not saying was missing, but it's a significant part of the Drogheda operation where, like, you know, you have multiple, everybody's really doing, like carrying their weight, if you know what I'm saying.
Over and beyond.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're big fans of Kevin and Dara on this pod, but we're also they're getting that tune out of their players.
Conor Keighley's been sensational the last couple of games that I've watched him.
Yeah, no, but he's having a very good season after what would be only characterised as a total waste of time at Pats. I'm sure he'd probably admit that himself. Like it didn't really work out. He never really got much of a shout. So
we could do with him now.
Absolutely could do with him now. But I'd say he's very happy to be a Drogheda at the moment.
Yeah, 100%.
What did you make of the penalty?
You'll have to refresh my mind because I watched these highlights yesterday.
I think it's Sean Graham ploughed through the back of, I can't remember who was it, Ryan Brennan, maybe.
Yes.
Like totally. Totally.
Could have been Keighley.
It was Keighley, excuse me. Yeah. Totally.
Crazy.
Yeah. Rugby tackled him to the ground like, stupid. Can't believe there's any real complaints about that. Like, if you look back and it was just total bullshit. But
lovely penalty from DJT. He looks like he's, I mentioned it last week and I watched him recently over in Weavers Park, or Sullivan Lamb Park as it is now. You could tell he was still not fully tuned up, but he looks like he's getting there. But June is fast approaching now, and I know his parent club Walsall were beaten in the League Two playoff final today at Wembley, but I don't know what that all means for his future. I think Kevin Doherty had some comments in the press today that he's maybe confident he can keep him for another while. You'd hope that he can, because he is a class act.
Yeah, but for Drogheda, like what is his... Like, what does he think about, like, his future? If you know what I'm saying. Like, what's the long-term plan here for himself? Is he going to keep doing loans in Ireland, or does he want to start and gig in Walsall? It's kind of hard to know what way they're looking at him, and have they
only
been
thing
paying
now
much
is
attention
to him? He's got a European campaign coming up. If he can do well there, that could open up an entirely new set of options for him. So
absolutely.
I think there's a real if I was him, there'd be a real temptation to stay with Drogheda right now. And that shows how far the club has come, because usually players come in from the UK, do their 6 months, they do whatever, and they're gone. They want to get back. But I'd say he actually has a genuine decision in front of him now, which shows how far Drogheda have come as a club.
Oh, yeah, it's a decision with him, but it's mainly a decision about Walsall, you know, depending on what they want to do. Mm. Hopefully, from a Drogheda perspective, he gets to stay. It's good, obviously, great work and great news for them that he's back fit. Obviously, buried the penalty against Bowes on Friday. But I'm not 100% sure, you know, obviously, do you want to go back to Walsall or do you want to be pricking around Europe? Very difficult decision. And, you know, maybe he'll be able to chime in to his bosses in Walsall to say, look, I'd like to give this a go for 6 months. Are you in Europe? Might be the question he's asking Walsall. But, yeah, look, it'd be... Look, another good win for Drogheda against High Flying Bows. So puts them right back up to second now. But I know they've played an extra game or two because of the game. Wasn't there a few games that were they played the extra few games because they're in Europe?
Yeah.
So the table's kind of reading a bit falsely, but they're back up to second now on points. So with a game extra played over Derry and Bows and a few others, but another good weekend.
Yeah, wasn't another good weekend though for Stephen Kenny and St. Pat's. A 2-2 draw against Waterford. It's just not happening for them.
Really not taking over, is it? I find it hard to put my finger on it. You know, there've been some good moments, obviously. The whole whole yarn about they've been playing like shite but pulling out the points. Hasn't really come, you know, the results have fallen away, not the shite performances. They're still in fashion for them. But even like if you look back at the goal for the opening goal for Waterford, it was very early on. It seemed like it was just sixes and sevens, wasn't it? It was like all over the place, like a poor clearances made, a block, some lads gets in the way, and it's all helter skelter. It's nearly like Waterford are going for a last minute equaliser, if you know what I'm saying. It's just all over the place. So not a great opener for them. But look, they did well to get back in it.
Waterford gifted them the two goals, really. It's just something they need to eradicate from their game, because they're putting in some great performances, but they've just been leaking soft goals all season, Waterford. You could literally, like, some weeks this pod AI could do it for us. Like the same teams, like Waterford, they're playing well. They're conceding stupid goals. We're saying the same things about Sligo and Cork City as well. Like Barry mentioned it, there's far more goals being conceded in the league this season. The defense is just can't seem to get it together. It's great entertainment for us, but it's got to be frustrating for Waterford fans watching these performances, but watching the goals they're giving away.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And like, to be fair, look, it was Mason Meadie with the two goals who has come under some stick.
Yeah,
in recent times.
Nice to see.
But the first goal was a lovely bit. Like, was a proper striker's goal, a poacher's goal. You know, he stops his own player's shot, puts himself into a bit of space with all but one touch, and scores with the second touch. Like, that's exactly what you're looking for from a striker. No pricking, horse it into the net, and they say the third goal was the second goal for him. It was just unfortunate defending. I can't remember the defender's name. Just gets caught under it, loose touch. Amelia is there to take it off him and run on towards goal and score. Really good for him. Good game for him. But again, Waterford come back and Pat's just filled the togs and dropped points again at home. I know there was. Was Jamie Lennon playing in this game? I think I'm not 100% sure. I think there was more talk about like this, Pat's missing players. Did you see any of that?
Forrester was back, but Lennon didn't start the game. I think he did miss out, didn't he?
He had the yellow card. Sorry. And I know last week, I'm thinking of Palmer. I think he needs an operation or something like that.
Yeah, he's out forever. Huge loss, yeah.
Yeah. But like, there is such a going on as if, like, you know, they had to call up a few under 15s or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's not nobody that's on this team. They're probably the most.
Keane and McClelland and Power were among the subs that came on. Serious options.
Serious options, absolutely. That's
Connor Carty's gone there, and I think we're fans of him. He didn't come on. Brandon Kavanagh didn't come on. Tom Grovosti didn't play. Serious options there.
Yeah. Roger's still a backup keeper, like, and we were happy enough with him when he was starting about 18 months ago or 2 years ago. So I don't really know what they're looking for. It's just more excuses, it seemed to me, about players not being available. So I just think that, I don't know what they need to do, but they need to just get a hold of it quick because it's just not that the season's going to be gone, but, like, you know, is it going to be a case come the end of the season that they leave themselves a bit much to do? Do you know what I mean? Just, we dropped a lot of shy points back earlier on in the season, and we left ourselves a bit too much work to do. Like, even if you look back last season, like, wasn't that the line from Bradley about Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah.
They just ran out of road, ran out of games.
From a Waterford point of view, Lonergan looks to finally be getting to the boil after a bit of a slow start. We were expecting huge things from him, but seems to be getting there now. Noonan, it looks a really good player. I think there's talk about how long will Waterford actually be able to hold on to him. They've still got Podge Ammon there. They just need to, I think they need to strengthen the back line. I mean, Darley, he's an experienced player. He was very poor for that first Melia goal. I'm not sure what way he was trying to block the ball. It was a bit strange, but I think three of the back four were booked in that game the other day. I just think they could do us. The attacking options look good. I just think in behind, there's a bit of a softness to that Waterford team. And if they can strengthen that in the upcoming window, I think they'll be absolutely fine. Shelburne 3, Sligo Rovers 2, a right humdinger here. Some absolutely cracking goals, no more so than the long-range strike from Owen Elding.
I think that was the pick out of a lot of them, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Credit to Shells. Duffer said it himself in his post-match. Bit of character shown here. You know, they've been taking a bit of stick under pressure.
Rightly.
Probably needed to win this game to stay in touch with the teams above them. They come from behind. They've showed that little bit of grit that we associate with Shelburne.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a goal from the corner, headed in from the corner. I thought it was quite poor from Shells. They need to be doing better at
free header back post. Yeah,
yeah. That's a shite. Like, they need to be doing a lot better there, particularly against a team who maybe haven't been too bad going forward. But at the same time, they need to be using set pieces to get their goals. So you would have expected them to be a bit better at the back for that, but look, they did well enough, Shells, to pull it out. Like, it could have been a sticky one for them, and it almost was, but they did well to get the 3 points. But I think, as I said, the pick of the goals was from Owen Elding. What a strike that was. He's 10 times the player's father was.
Moving on then, we've got Galway United 2, Cork City 1. Good response from John Caulfield's men. I actually really like the winner here, and another player that celebrated wildly against a former club in Conor McCormack. And fair play to him, he's entitled to, because he doesn't score many. But
yeah.
I really like the bit of play from Stephen Walsh here. He's taken it in, and he's composed enough to pick his head up in a pressure area and pick the pass out to Conor McCormack, who absolutely buries it, makes no mistake.
Oh yeah, well, he had to do that. It was what was required. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, very important 3 points for Galway at home, and we thought they would do it. I just thought it was important that they get those 3 points.
What did you make of the penalty that Cork got in this game?
Which was that now?
It was a cross.
Oh, the handball.
Yeah, the handball, yeah.
Very harsh, I thought.
Extremely harsh. Like, his hand is behind his back. Everyone is saying online that the ball hit him in the back. I think it actually might have hit his arm, but his hand's behind his back. And there was, like, less than a yard, I'd say, between where the lad crosses it from and where the defender is. Every kind of thing that should go in his favour for the referee to say, you know what, I'm not going to give that. It didn't seem to be taken into account, which was a bit strange.
Yeah, well, like, it definitely didn't just hit his back. It hit his hand as well. Mm. Like, people that are saying it just hit his back are just playing blind. It definitely hit his hand. There's no question about that. But I think your man just ran into the box and just drove it at his hand.
Yeah.
That's essentially what happened. I thought it was a very harsh decision. Didn't really think it was the right one either. But I suppose that from a Cork perspective, you need those things to go your way. It's not very often that they've probably had the rub of the green. They've probably been on the wrong side of a lot of stuff. But look, Conor McCormack did well, finish it. What else could he do? Just drive it in. Wasn't much shooting in it, like, do you know what I mean? Just kick it into the goals. It's not that deep. But look, it needed to be done, and a really important win for Galway, who were just, you know, they were on a rotten run of form, home and away, so good to get a plug on it there. And also, just on that, I know I should probably should have mentioned it last week. That's the Cork and Sligo on level on points there now.
I was just going to say this. I still fancy Sligo to stay up above Cork. I'm just looking at the two 100%. Teams to play there. I think the Sligo Rovers team is stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more to them as well, I think. I think there's a bit more.
Probably not much between them, to be honest. But I think Sligo have a better squad, but summer window will be important. Right, let's delve into the first division. I was at Oriel on Friday, Dundalk 2, Kerry nil. Not going to lie. And fair play to Kieran Kilduff as well and his players after. They didn't sugarcoat this. Wasn't a good performance at all from Dundalk. Ran out 2-0 winners. Kerry started the game really well. Me and you spoke about it recently. There's been a lot of crying from some quarters about, oh, teams going up to Oriel and they're sitting in. And it's, Kerry didn't do that. Now, Kerry came flying out of the block, started the game really well, and they had some great chances and just didn't take them. Enda Minogue made a couple of really, really good saves, and Darrell Horgan cleared one off the line. And a minute later, Gaxa goes down the far end. And I'm telling you for a fact, he meant that. People will laugh at me. They'll say, oh, here's the Dundalk man now saying that that was a cross. You look at it. There's nobody in the box. He's put his head down. He drives into the corner. He's beaten two men. He's run out of road. There's nowhere to go. There's nobody in the box. And you can tell by the way he's lashed it. He's gone for that. So I fully believe Gaxa when he says that he meant that. But it still was a freak goal. And then an unbelievable goal from Darrell Horgan. And you saw him recently against Longford and how important he was in that game. He was the difference in the last 10 or 15 minutes. Just that little touch of class when he got in the ball. He set up Gaxa for another chance at the end. Gaxa hit the post, but Kerry weren't as good. There was a drop-off from Kerry in the second half, but they'll rue those missed chances in the first 45 minutes where Dundalk were very, very poor.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think it was a very tough one for Kerry. Like, it was almost like Longford where they were super in the first half and they were still quite good in the second half, but just that little bit of quality that Dundalk had, you know, saw it out. So,
Kilduff made three changes at half time. I think he did.
Why?
Yeah, he made, because they were so poor in the first half.
Oh, do you think that was it? Yeah.
Yeah, no, the interview.
Like, were they that bad? More
yeah, so they were. They were very, very poor in the first half. I interviewed him after the game, and he didn't, sugarcoat it at all. He admitted he was disappointed with the performance. And he made changes, and there was words exchanged at half time in the dressing room. So he wasn't happy. I don't think. I'm not sure he got a massive, massive response with the subs, to be honest. I just think Kerry dropped off that bit in the second half. But look, they're still unbeaten after 15 games. And for me, I like to see that they've come out and they've admitted straight away that was poor. I think that shows a good mentality. So I think for Kerry, though, definite encouraging signs there in the early days of Colin Healy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think... I think it's going to be very difficult, obviously, for him with the squad that's there. Will he be able to make many additions to that in the...
I can't see why not.
In the summer, absolutely. Will they be the right ones is the next question. But just want to highlight as well that goal that Horgan scored.
Yeah, I was right behind him. I was class.
No, I was just saying about the one that was disallowed.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, about 3 or 4 yards on
side. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that was called like that. And no real complaints for the Dundalk players. You can see it that he's a good journey behind them.
Yeah, actually, it was a Ruby that set up that disallowed goal. he's starting the last couple of games now in front of Dean Ebbe. Ebbe's come in for a bit of stick from Dundalk supporters, which...
The work rate, was it?
Just about, he's not doing it, you know. They expected more from him. I seen Arubi in pre-season, and I thought, Jesus Christ, this lad is useless, right? Okay. But he was playing out on the wing. The last couple of games now, he's been playing as the centre forward, and I was actually very impressed with him the other night in the first half, because, again, he didn't really get much decent service into him. There was no real great chances for Dundalk because they were poor, but he made himself very busy up there. He ran the line well. He held it up well. I was impressed with him. So the one thing I'd like to see, I haven't got to see yet in the flesh when I've gone to watch Dundalk because he's not been playing until recently. When he gets into a goal-scoring chance now, I want to see what his finishing is like. That'll be the big test about him. Yeah. It's interesting that Ebbe is on the bench at the moment. Right, Athlone 2, Cove 3. I'm going to go on in a bit of a rant here. Like, you know, after a...
Oh, go on.
You know, after a game, you'd see all the boys saying on about in the comments on Facebook and that giving out stink about, oh, you let my bet down.
Yeah.
I obviously got wind of a bit of what was going on at Athlone during the week, so... Straight away, looking at the betting markets, I said, oh, bit of Cove minus one here, 2-1, I'll take that. As soon as I got my bet on, all the bookmakers started suspending and taking down markets.
Oh, they were tracking you, were they?
Yeah, so I felt like, right, lovely, I'm ahead of the game here now. I seen Cove 2-0 up, 3-1 up. I was thinking, lovely, lovely wee touch here, and they only win 3-2. I am disgusted with you, Cove Ramblers.
Yeah, it was a good couple of goals by Tete, to be fair. A couple of nice finishes there. The third one, or the second one was nice from just outside the box, but...
You'd have to think with everything that's going on there, we will touch on the Athlone situation in a minute, but if players are looking for out, you'd have to think there'd be a few clubs looking at him in particular. He looks like a really good player, Tete. A really good prospect, anyway.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, I think. And like it was a big thing for Athlone to keep him or get him. He's there permanently.
Permanently,
now.
Yeah.
So that was like a big thing in itself. But like the defending again from Athlone.
Oh my good God!
Like it's like they were told what offside was, you know, 10 minutes before the game.
They're so high.
They're so high, but like they're
lopsided as well. Like there's like two lads high and two lads like middle and a lad deep. It's a mess.
There's all of that, but like there's no communication. That's the right way. When Cove have the ball in next position, like what way are we setting up? Like, who are we tracking here? It seemed to me like a very basic plan from Cove. You know, it didn't take a whole pile to get by them or get through them. It was really poor stuff from Athlone. Like whoever's playing them next, like have nothing to fear, and the blueprint is right there from Cove. And they're probably not quick enough to get back either when the line is broken. But it really just goes to show like there was no plan for the midfield to stop the ball. So once the centre midfielder from Cove, freedom of the park, able to pick his pass, make a couple of, you know, he had a few options there and really did the job for on Athlone. Really poor stuff again from them.
Yeah, on Athlone, obviously five players leaving the club, fairly high profile ones at that as well. And then we got the news that Mickey O'Connor has stepped down from his position as well. Now I've been digging into kind of what's going on there over the last couple of days, and the sources that I have indicate that
Inspector Gadget here, huh?
Perhaps the takeover that was appears dead in the water, that there could be a chance that maybe it's back on the table now. So I think they really, really need that to go through because it's an absolute mess there.
You say there could be maybe a chance that it's back on the table?
Yes.
It's a lot of road still to go through, lad.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Obviously, Ian Ryan was lined up by these potential new owners to go in there when they then pulled out or whatever.
Is this the same crowd back again?
I just heard there could be a chance of a fresh takeover happening. Right, that's what I've heard there. So we'll have to wait and see. But they need that because at the moment, no manager, players leaving. It's a complete mess and it's not going to get any better until someone goes in there and gets a hold of it. So,
and just being mentioned, like the players, even like I said, one of them was Kyle O'Connor, like, who we've seen with Longford Town for the previous 2 years. I think he's played nearly every game for them.
Yeah.
starting left back, like, you know, I know it hasn't been going too well for the team in itself, but like, just to have your starting left back being released, you know, it's strange.
There's probably more to come, I'd imagine. Right. Finn Harps 1, UCD 2. Refereeing decisions very contentious here, particularly the late penalty for UCD, which was a good bit outside the box, to be fair.
Was it?
It was, yeah. It was in the D, but it's outside the box. Come on.
Ali, I can't rightly remember. You'd have to fill me back in.
There was a challenge inside the D of the outside the area, and a penalty was awarded.
Hold on now. Hold your wished.
There's no need to look at it. I can tell you for a fact.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
That was outside the box.
Miles outside the box.
He nearly ended inside the 6-yard box, but yeah, no, you're right. Well, he did. Like, he went a long way, but yeah. It was probably the first contact was outside the box. But that, to be fair,
No. There's no to be fair. That was a very poor decision.
Yeah, no, it was a poor decision, but like, that was a very quick break.
Yeah.
Running up the pitch, like, you know, you would have been looking for your...
You're watching it there. Does the linesman have a clear view of that, or is there someone in front of him?
There's a heap of players, because it came out, it was out to the right. And so if you look back at it, there's four Harps players, two UCD players in the linesman's way, because the ball broke out the left.
Fair enough. I was just going to say...
Oh, sorry, out the right, and was played in.
The ref a hand there. And as you said, it is a quick break, so the ref's probably that... Where's the ref there? Is he going back?
You don't even see him. He's pointing at the spot coming into view on the video.
There you go, yeah. So we can give them the bit of a benefit of a doubt.
And the player ends up he's still on the ground 6 yards inside the way. He's ahead of the penalty spot with his hand in the air. Like, it's not the worst decision I've ever seen based on where the ref, another human being, can see. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's happened so quick. I'm probably, you know, like we say, with that pitch up there, you can probably see half the line on top of that. Do you know what I mean? I do want to make a point here now that I particularly have it in front of me. The whatever way 24/7 are doing the streams, I think only me and one other person have noticed this, but probably other people. When you're watching the video, the graphic of who scores the goal comes up before the goal is scored. Ever noticed that?
No.
So if you look at the highlights, right, they're showing the replay, your man's on the ground, whoever got nailed, and they have in the bottom left corner, Michael Raggett, 9, goal scorer for UCD. That's not even it hasn't even come up yet. Like, so that's right in front of me, I decided to point it out, but huge win for UCD. We've been quite critical of them. Like, there's not much in them, I don't think. Like, they were bailed out here by a dubious penalty, as you say. But it was an important one. They were not going fantastic, and they had that poor loss a few weeks ago at home to Kerry.
Great goal from Kieran Behan. I've expected more of that stuff from him this
season. Kick.
I'm a big fan of him.
Even
the game in Longford, it was his assist from the free kick that got them the winner. I know the lad that headed it in was totally unmarked. It was a lovely cross. He's very good over a dead ball. Win for UCD. Like, 100%. They needed that. Bray Wanderers 1, Wexford 2. This was probably a bit of a surprise result given both teams' form recently. I think there was a bit of a something after this game. I think there was a couple of Wexford players sent off from what I've been reading. I didn't see the incident at the time, and I don't think it's included in any of the highlights packages or any of that, but I think there was a couple of players sent off after the full-time whistle here, so it got a bit juicy at the end, but this is a big confidence booster for Wexford. Bray, though, they played very well, created lots of chances, it just wasn't their day. If I was a Bray person, I wouldn't be too disheartened by this. I think it was another good performance, just didn't take their chances on the day.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that all right, and a couple of good saves from the Wexford keeper. But I must say, the opening goal from Wexford was a very nice bit of play.
Bit simple, though, from a defensive point of view.
Yeah, really simple. Like, it was just running off from the wing. But at the same time, he took it down really well. He was coming at pace, took it down, got his player out of the way, and was able to drive it in. Like, it was still a very nice finish.
Yeah.
As simple as it was, as you say, Ronaldo. but really good finish. And it was a big boost for Wexford to win that game. particularly away in the Carlisle grounds on that new pitch. But look, these things happen from a Bray perspective. Like, they don't have the quality to keep that going forever. So that's the end of the world either.
Do we need to talk about the last game in the first division, or can we just move on?
No, we have to give Treaty their credit.
Yeah. 5-1 for anyone that missed it.
Yeah. Some nice goals from Devitt, a hat trick from him. Yoro's goal was class.
Ah, great.
He's threatened to do that a few times, to be fair to him. Probably guilty of overplaying it at times. But I know Longford are having a difficult season, to say the least. You don't lose 5-0. You don't lose 5-0 twice in the first half of the season.
Well, the last 5-1 here, but
whatever. You don't concede 5 in a game.
Yeah.
So, like,
particularly against a team you only beat a couple of months ago. I spoke about this recently. The budgets in the division kind of dictate where teams will finish. Longford and Treaty, there's probably not a huge difference between budgets there, I wouldn't imagine. There's no way, looking at even the players that both teams have in their squads, there's no way this is a 5-1 game either way. Like, that should not be happening.
No, that's the thing. And some of the stuff was just way too easy from
the big Croatian lad, Trippmier, that scores. That's an absolutely embarrassing goal that Longford have conceded there. He rolls, like, this lad is one of the biggest, most strongest, powerful centre forwards in the league. And
Is he the tallest lad in the division or something?
Probably up there.
Wait, Manny, no, Malongo, that was Waterford boy.
Yeah. Malongo gets into a test of strength with him from a throw-in and gets rolled.
Completely the wrong side.
And then, I don't know who tries to come in and bail it out, but he sticks it through his legs, and then he sticks it through Harry Halwick's legs as well. Like, it's just dire. Dire.
It is dire. No, there's no doubt about that. Like, and two lads going for the ball, I think for the fourth goal, and then Manny Malongo tries to stop, but everybody's onside already. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I suppose, like, from a Longford perspective, the nicest thing we saw in the whole thing was Yoro powering through, which was fantastic. But yeah, I don't really know. I don't think it's, you know, Yo-Yo Maddie scoring as well. Jesus, like, just way too easy from everywhere, and lack of real paying attention to what the hell was going on. Like, if you look back at that goal, the ball is played, Maddy plays the 1-2, and like, he's just one pass, and he slots it in along the ground from about 35 yards.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Like, I was at a wedding on Friday, and I just started looking at the scores, and I was thinking, Jesus Christ, like, I'm not twisted enough for this, like. So bad night at the office, and like, book up their ideas, or else it's going to be back to back away losses here.
Yeah, Longford away to Kerry next, Gary, and as I said, I was impressed with them in Oriel the other night for parts of it, so I think that could be a tough game. But with that, we'll move to the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions league. Last week we were joined by Lee Conroy, Drogheda United fan. He performed admirably, it has to be said. He got 7 points. They were all correct results. He got no correct scores. So 7 out of 10 is not bad going. But if he had got a correct score there now, he would have had a really good time. But I got 7 points as well. I got 1 correct score. That was Derry Shamrock Rovers. And you got 8 points. You were the top player. You got the correct score in Dundalk Kerry, and you got a lot of correct results. So again, 7 points me, 7 points Lee, 8 points you. That leaves the league table like this. I'm still bottom on 70, you're second on 75, and the listeners are just 1 point away from the ton mark already. They're on 99. Aww. And we have got Waterford fan Sam playing with us this week, because Sam sent me a very detailed, you know, remember Sam is the boy that the with the drinks question last year.
Yeah, we owe him a lot.
Yeah.
How many times did you say we'll sort that out? Yeah, lazy cunts, the pair of us.
No, we did the drinks question. There was another then. There was something else. Yeah. Anyway, he was on to me with another one. He was looking for us to do a team where you only pick one player from each club.
Oh, God.
And I said to him that I was fairly certain I heard this on another podcast recently. And he goes, you should know by now that Between the Stripes is the only podcast I listen to. So I was like, fair play, lad. But I didn't bring it up on last week's pod. So I texted him this week and I said, Sam, I'm going to do you a solid. Since I didn't ask your question after you put so much effort in, you can play in the Predictions League this week. So he was more than delighted with that. So let's see what Sammy has got for us here. We're going to start with Cove against Treaty. He's going for a 2-1 win to Cove Ramblers.
Yeah, I wouldn't. While it was a great result for Treaty, I'm not going to go, oh, they're going to be... you know, baiting the life out of anybody else.
Probably just overlooked Treaty a little bit there. We went a bit long for the heavy, but I want to say again, I don't think they're getting enough credit for the start of the season. They've had fourth in the table. I think they're massively overperforming, to be honest.
Yeah, completely. They're doing a lot better. Like, they had a couple of poor results chucked into the middle of that, like the loss away to Kerry, for example, but they've had some really good results. They had a good... Did they go up to Harps and win 2 or 3-0 or something like that last month or something? They pegged 4 past UCD and they pegged 5 past Longford. So, they're one of the top scorers in the division. So, I know that 9 goals in 2 games will help you a lot in that regard, but they're still doing quite well and they haven't conceded too many either. So, good combination.
So, what do you think here?
I still think Cove will beat them. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Cove.
Right, I don't see that. I think Treaty will get something here. In terms of a goal, I'm not sure whether they'll get a result or not. I'll follow Sam. I'll go 2-1 to Cove. But I wouldn't be surprised if Treaty get a result there. Wexford against Dundalk. This could be a sticky one for Dundalk. They'll have to play an awful lot better than they did against Kerry.
They will. Now, I will say one thing. The last time these two teams played each other, you were extremely disappointed. I think you were at that match.
Yeah.
And...
Dundalk won 3-0.
Yeah, but I think what was interesting in that game was that was just after Longford played them.
Yeah.
And you made a very good point about how Longford had set up and were quite diligent in how they were playing to nullify Dundalk.
Yeah, and that was another game though where Dundalk were absolutely terrible in the first half and they were a completely different team the second half. I remember Kieran Gildoff saying to me after that was definitely their best second half performance of the season.
Yeah. But it was just concerning that we'll say there was an element of a blueprint there about how to stop Dundalk in a certain way and Westford were not able to, you know, get a sniff at that. Now, you mentioned as well that there was a couple of players sent off for Wexford late on. Does anybody
I'll tell have you FAI know in Connect? A second. I do have FAI Connect, yeah.
You know, if it was a pair of lads on the bench that haven't kicked the ball all year, that's one thing, but any joy there?
Yeah, it was, it was Paul Martin, the goalkeeper, and it was Connor Livingston. I see a Bray coach was sent off as well, so it got very juicy there at the end, but yeah, they're two key players, and like, if you're going to get a result against Dundalk, you probably need your keeper to have a good night at the office. Like, when Longford almost got a point up in Oriel, Harry Halwick's had a great game. Paul Martin's been excellent since he's gone into Wexford. So if they're without him, that's a big blow.
So that'd mean, what's his name? Is it Alex Moody going in then for Wexford in goal? Be a bit ropey there at the back. Yeah, I'm going to go for... 2-0 win to Dundalk.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Dundalk. I think Darren Horgan bend one in or something. I think this could be a tight enough game. Sam going 1-1 in that game, which is interesting. Bray against Finn Harps. Good chance for Bray to bounce back, I think, here.
Yeah. What we might have called an imminent derby 3 months ago, it's now a different one. I'm going to go for... what do you think?
I'm going to go comfortable enough win for Bray here. Have they kept many clean sheets this season, Bray? Just off the top of my head, I can't really think. I think they'll keep a clean sheet here. I'm going to go 2-0.
I'm going to go 3-1 to Bray.
And Sam going 3-0 to Bray. Kerry against Longford.
This is a huge game for the town.
Only one winner here, I'm afraid.
The town?
The kingdom. 2-0.
I'm going to go 1-0 to the town.
Okay. And Sam going 2-0 to Kerry as well. UCD against Athlone.
Surely to God, UCD can get it over the line here with the disarray that Athlone are in at the minute.
Athlone actually managed to score two goals against Cove is remarkable, given...
Yeah, but there were two goals kind of... You know, one was a good finish from Tete in particular, but like it was only like two shots, if you know what I mean. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to UCD because it's limited enough going forward themselves.
I'm going to follow you there. I wouldn't have massive faith in this UCD team, but they have to be capitalising on the mess that Athlone are in. Going 2-1 to UCD. Right, into the Premier Division, we've got Waterford against Drogheda. Sam, being a Blues fan, will go straight to him. He's gone 1-0 to Waterford and a Podge Amond header. So if he gets that, we'll give him a bonus point. So give me your score here and give me your goal scorer as well.
I think this is going to be a very tough game for Drogheda. And probably a bit crowded in Waterford too. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. Ryan Brennan to score for Drogheda.
Very good. These two had a great game on the telly last year. Remember that Thursday night game on Virgin Media? It was the first Thursday game that they trialled. And I think Drogheda were 2-0 up and lost 3-2.
That's right. That was a banger, yeah.
I could see something similar here. I really could. I think this will be a cracking game of football. I said I was bang on last week with Drogheda. I know that they needed Dennison to bail them out against Bowes, but I said, you know, I thought they'd win that game against Bowes because performances have been really good lately and they were probably overdue another 3 points.
Yeah.
So they're playing really well. It's hard to look past them at the moment, but this Waterford team could just cut out the silly goals. Or how long are we saying that now? That there's going to be goals in this. I think this could be an absolute belter of a game. I'm going to go for something a bit wild here. I'm going to go for a 3-3 draw. I know Drogheda don't really concede that many games. I think they could get drawn into a bit of a humdinger here.
Sure, take an extra point there if that happens.
And I'll give myself a goal scorer as well. Sure, I'll stick with the man.
Sure, sure. If you say six goals are scored, you're bound to be right, like. Any Egan standing up near a goal will probably score if it's going to be 3-3.
Sligo Rovers against St. Pat's. Tough game for Pats here. We wouldn't have thought we'd be saying that a while back.
You think Sligo could get something out of this?
I do.
So do I, because I'd be, if I was John Russell.
Ian Kavanagh to haunt his old club.
He's a few of them.
1-0 St. Pat's, or 1-0 Sligo with Kavanagh to get the winner.
Okay, you picked on him beforehand, you know, at the start of the season that he was going to have a big season. So, yeah, definitely extra point on that. I'm going to go 1-0 to Sligo with Elding to score.
Very good. And Sam going 2-1 to St. Pat's. Cork City against Shelburne. I think this is also going to be a tricky game for Shelburne, to be honest.
I think they'll have enough. As we mentioned already, there's a...
Will it be a bit too hardy here for Cork?
Yeah, I think it'll be champions against a team at the bottom, toward the bottom of the table. Like, I just don't think the quality is there in Cork. Like, there's a lot of effort and stuff, but I don't see how they're going to get out of this situation at all. I'm going to go for someone actually just on that. Like, so there's something in me that says that, like, Shelburne are going to make heavy lifting of it. I'm going to go 2-1, but I think it's going to be to Shelburne, but it's going to be relatively comfortable. But maybe we'll say, like, Cork score late, get one back late on, and there's a bit of shite.
I think Cork are going to get something out of this. I'm going 2-2.
Really?
Yep. I can see them getting something here. And Sam going 1-0 to Shelburne. Typical. Bohemians against Derry. I think this is the live game on Friday.
Back in Dalymount Park.
What we do know is this won't be a draw. Bows don't draw games of football. Simply not in their mantra.
Not in their philosophy. I'd be happy enough with both.
I actually think this will be a draw, to be honest. I think this could be the one, yeah.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Bowes.
1-0 to Bowes. Okay. Sam going 1-1, and I'm going to go exactly the same there on that one. And then we've got Shamrock Rovers against Galway. Barry gave us a little bit of a preview to this earlier when we spoke to him, but will this be plain and simple for Rovers, or will
it definitely won't be plain and simple. I do have a feeling that Galway will score once or twice just because of my feelings around the Rovers defence. You know, they gave up some chances even against Derry there. There was one that was just a pass, I think clearly passed it to someone who had his full back to him. And there was a chance that was actually well cut out, I think, by Lopez, came over and blocked the shot. I'm going to go for 3-2 to Shamrock Rovers.
Oof, expecting goals this weekend. I'm going to go 2-1 to Shamrock Rovers. Sam going 2-0 to the Hoops there. Right, before we go, we have got the BTS hotline for you this week. Let's take a look at what our listeners have had to say here. And we will start with Git. He's always the first boy in, isn't he? Let's forget this Eurovision nonsense and let's hear Gary's reaction to poor Derry fans whinging about an opposition player celebrating a winner against them.
Yeah, well, look, as we mentioned already, total bullshit. When did he play for them?
He's from Derry.
Yeah, no, I know that. But, well, so that means he can't... what's he supposed to do?
A. Durbin celebrated against Longford this season. Did he? Not that he scored, but he rustled.
Yeah. And he'll probably be back someday. You know what I mean? Wow. He was dead right. No issue with that at all. I think Derry supporters should be more annoyed that they're dropping more points.
Yeah, I thought it was great to see.
Yeah, same.
But then again, we hate Derry, so...
Oh, yeah, well, it's the Dublin media bias on this podcast.
Pat Mitchell, any chance of a new pod segment for the BTS Russell of the Week? Maybe it could be sponsored by Aaron McInniff or possibly Rennie. Yeah, it's great to see all this.
Yeah, no, it is. Actually, just when you mention, did someone say, some journal write this week that Duffer was right?
Yeah. About the Daily Mail picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not evidence of being welded to his hole, you know. I just brought the rustling and Duffer and crying and moaning all into the one picture there. Russell of the week. Are we getting enough rustling?
It's getting there now. It was way too friendly. We were right. Way too friendly there the last few years.
Oh, it was shocking. Yeah. No, it was absolutely terrible. Every fella was a great fella, which is just not true. I don't know. We should definitely review it at the end of the season, like the top Russells.
Yeah. Keep a list.
Kieran
Carrick, are Athlone the next team this season to have an asterisk beside their name? Let's very much hope not. Dennis, 29 bookings in 5 games needs talking about. So many games this season, Jesus, where there hasn't been a bad tackle in sight. Standard of refereeing in this league is abysmal. I suppose we've kind of touched on refereeing a little bit over the last few weeks. Neil McLaughlin, are the league going to issue managers with handbags for post-match duties?
Because they're all around with each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was funny with seeing Kevin Doherty and Dara Doyle pointing in the background. It reminded me of that, that meme with the cat at the table pointing at each other. It was funny, I don't know. Rennie to come out with that yarn about Doherty wanting his job, which I never heard of before.
He definitely didn't.
Oh yeah, I've no doubt that he didn't. It's just shy. But I have to say the best Russell that we heard in a while was already coming back saying I'd have it if I wanted it. Brilliant.
And then Aidan, I'm not seeing either set of fans getting anywhere exercised by what was said between Reynolds and Doherty this weekend. I think it's a non-event. And I think that's kind of what you've been saying about a lot of this kind of managerial stuff over the last few weeks.
Yeah, but it adds to it. It adds a bit of colour to it. We need more rustling and more hatred, as I've said many times. But I don't want it to, for a second, dominate a throw-in. in a game.
Yeah. Well, look, that was this week's Between the Stripes. Great to have Barry Murphy on with us this week. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound lighting and AV solutions. Quick reminder to check us out on TikTok and Twitter if you're not already doing so. We Leo Gax is doing great numbers for us on the TikTok, guys. I think he's up to 17 or 18,000 views on the TikTok from my interview with him the other night. You can get the full interview with Leo Gaxa and with Kieran Kilduff after I spoke to them the other night in Oriel on the Between the Stripes Members Club. Go to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership. You can sign up to the Members Club there and get access to all of our exclusive content throughout the season. But that was another podcast. Until next week, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.